This is Popular Front, a podcast focused on the niche details of modern warfare and underreported conflict with me, Jake Hanrahan. Today we're speaking to journalist Gunseli Yelchinkaya. She's going to be talking to us about the e-girl military industrial complex. Basically, it's the rise of so-called e-girls, so attractive young women online, that are involved in military combat lifestyles and promoting it in a way that is packed full of memes on social media. Some people are saying it's a psyop to get young men to join up to the military and die in wars. The girls themselves are like, no, we're just having fun. Gunseli has written about it, and she's going to be talking to us about some really interesting questions that this brings up. Support us at patreon.com/popularfront. We're going to be talking about the military e-girls, whether they're a psyop or not, or whatever that conversation is. First, explain to us, what are they? What is this situation? You've written about it recently. Can you tell us?
I guess on TikTok and on social media, kind of primarily in the last year, there's been this influx of e-girls who work in the army, who are kind of posting these kind of influencer style videos. So they're kind of they're posting cutesy like unboxing compilations and makeup tutorials, but they're in army uniforms, and they're kind of joking about war bunkers, playing with remote control tanks, and I guess there's this whole idea, like, one particular influencer in general, Lu Han, is actually enlisted in the PsyOps division, and so there's this kind of to and fro, like, is this all a psyop? Is it not?
I'm sure every single one of our listeners will be familiar with it, because everybody likes to accuse everything of being a psyop. Psyop now means I don't agree with that, or the way you framed it, so therefore it's a psyop. But maybe just explain to us, what do you mean by that? Like, she's in the psyops division, like, what? What is that all about?
I almost feel like you do a better job of defining it, but I guess something that's kind of intentionally been planted by the military. God, I find it hard to describe it as well. Like, how would you describe a psyop?
I guess it's something that is constructed to give the impression positively of one thing when actually it's masking another, but generally the two things are connected. So, I don't know, a psyop would be, oh, there's some rebels here that have rose up and taken over their country. And then you find out it's the CIA behind it all. I mean, if you're like an internet communist, everything that ever happens that, you know, that isn't to your liking is a CIA psyop. And then everything else, like, the only people that have agency to those kind of people is like American military somehow. But yeah, so she works in Luhan is one of the main ones. She kind of works in that division, right?
Or so she claims, but I think that's also been kind of verified as well.
Right, and so she's on TikTok. She's quite young. She's like 20 years old, I believe. And she's of the kind of typical e-girl stereotype, if you like, just with the war added in. For our more older listeners, I guess myself as well, maybe explain what the e-girl is even.
Yeah, so I guess nowadays an e-girl kind of describes more of an aesthetic than an actual personal subculture, I'd say. I think firstly it suggests a girl who's termly online, but also from an aesthetic point of view, whose image draws on references to like anime, K-pop, video games, bright colored hair, wears a lot of Sanrio and Hello Kitty dolls kill. But yeah, I guess also zooming outwards a bit, like, historically an e-girl, or the history of e-girls, has been rooted in sexism as well. So it was kind of originally meant as a derogatory way to describe a girl online who invades traditionally male spaces by being sexy. So in a way, I guess when we kind of transplant that like original meaning of the word to what we're seeing now with like e-girl warfare, people like Lu Han are kind of quote unquote invading these traditionally male spaces with kind of uwu cat ears and kind of like waifu aesthetics.
Yeah, I remember the first term, right, the first time I see the term ego, it basically, I mean, when you boiled it down, it just meant like like remotely hot girl that is into something men are usually into online. You know what I mean? They're like, oh, you're an e-girl, you want attention. It's like, I think maybe they just like this. You know what I mean? But that is kind of been reclaimed, right? I mean, the e-girl is not necessarily such a negative thing now. Am I right or wrong? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like for the most part, a lot of people who kind of adopt e-girl aesthetics probably were kind of born too late to like remember it being a derogatory term to begin with. But I feel like it's quite a positive, neutral aesthetic, I guess.
Yeah. So Luhan is one of the main ones. Just give us an idea of like a typical video that she would post on TikTok, for example, that relates to what she's doing.
I guess there's a disjunction between the content because almost all of it is kind of in army uniform. There's like a day in the life. So it's kind of videos posted in army uniform with a kind of military context, but then the actual context, but the actual content of the videos themselves take the format of a kind of standard influencer video. So you get like a day in the life, get ready with me, even like makeup tutorials, but kind of juxtaposed with the more, I guess, like shadowy context of it being that you're getting ready to fight in an army. The US Army, which kind of has imperial undertones. So there's definitely like this kind of paradoxical visual interference, because on one hand, you're seeing like this e-girl doing like cute unboxing compilations, but they're in army uniform, and that's really disarming because...
Yeah, it is weird. I mean, I don't know if I think it's necessarily evil or bad or just the way things are now. I mean, nothing really means anything. You know, everybody gets away with everything. But it's not just her, right? There's others doing it. It's not just Luhan. She just seems to have kind of monopolized on it. We spoke to her, like we made a video kind of making fun of the whole situation. We wrote on it like, oh, babe, die in a war for me. You know, wouldn't it be cool if we went and got all the oil? And she actually thought it was funny. You know, she was like, she messaged us and she got the joke. You know, I was like, yeah, we don't really give a fuck. Do you know what I mean? It is whatever. We were just laughing at it as we do a lot of things. But there are other ones, right? It's not just her. I think there's an Israeli one as well. We spoke to her, Gun Waifu. She found it less funny, but then she kind of understood it. I think she just thought, yeah, it's fine. There's a few, like, is this getting bigger, would you say? Is this a thing that's kind of going to become a trend?
I mean, it's hard to say whether it'll become kind of like a trend, capital T, but I definitely think as kind of the mixture of kind of these aesthetics gets normalized within the context of like military violence, we're going to kind of see kind of cuteness spread into these spaces where it would have been very kind of weird to imagine it being in those spaces even like a few years ago. But I think it kind of speaks on a wider level as well to just like the way that the internet's bleeding into kind of IRL situations. I mean, I guess with the Ukraine war, you were getting like kind of official governments like memeing at each other and tweeting. And this almost just feels like an extension of what has already kind of started.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. It's almost to me like, of course this would happen. I mean, I didn't expect it to, but when I saw it, it was like, yeah, of course this is going to happen. I was actually speaking to a friend the other day, and she was saying that she showed a 40-year-old, like, I can't remember, like Iraq war veteran or something like that. She showed this guy the Luhan stuff, and he was like blown away. He couldn't believe it was real. He didn't think she was really in the military, and she was. And I just thought, well, that's really like, you really didn't expect this to happen. It's like you say with Ukraine, and don't get me wrong, Ukraine has every right to defend themselves. And certainly I have friends literally out there fighting right now. But the way the kind of NAFO fellas, that whole thing is disturbing. It's basically people that will never actually see or smell the corpses of war, turning the whole thing into a football match. And I don't know. I don't think that's ever healthy. Sure, at Popular Front, we do kind of skirt the line a little bit. We do things a little bit edgy, and we have like a pretty dark sense of humor. But we've never been like, lol, 15 soldiers dead. Let's put Mickey Mouse music on it or whatever the fuck they do, which I don't know. It just seems wrong to me. Do you really think that, like, you know, kind of being a military eagle, would you say that that's in the same... Is that in the same vein as like dehumanizing a soldier by putting funny music over his death? I mean, to me, I don't think so, but I don't know. Maybe it's the same, part of the same thing.
I think it's a symptom of the same kind of memification of warfare. And I guess it's kind of like choose your weapon, really. And obviously, like, each context is different. But I think with people like Luhan as well, which is so kind of embedded in this, like, post-ironic kind of esoteric meme culture, I guess it comes from a different strand. But also, when you look at the kind of economic situations that a lot of youth are kind of experiencing at the moment, like with all the downward mobility and just how generally hard it is to live in this kind of younger generation, it's kind of no surprise that we're seeing this kind of neoliberal forces bleed into kind of internet culture in this particular way. I think kind of joining the army, like, I think McDonald's, for instance, if you, like, serve in the military for a certain amount of time, they'll pay for your college tuition. And there's kind of like little facts like this, don't quote me on it. But I think while, like, I know, say, like, the Russian government memeing something with a picture of Mickey Mouse has its place in kind of one part of this argument, I feel like it all kind of blends into the same kind of, yeah, like the memification of warfare, like the idea of social networks turning into digital battlefields. And I think that people like Luhan, Fedev, like, more in a kind of sincere, less, like, actually way more sinister and kind of way less funny on the surface side, is that what happens with these people is that they kind of capitalize on online irony to lull you into this false sense of security, kind of with, like, hashtag relatable content and, like, kind of funny memery. So while it's not kind of on the surface damaging, you can kind of look at it and be like, oh, lol, like, this person's really, like, tapped in and kind of funny. I think while that's not necessarily a bad thing, I think the thing that we should be thinking about and talking about is the idea that it normalizes these ideas of violence, and it normalizes the idea of, like, is something a psyop, is it not? And I guess, like, debating whether she's a psyop or not isn't the problem, but the real psyop is the normalization of military recruitment through social media.
I think that's a really fucking good point, yeah. But what are they going to do? You know, they got to do something. If you look at, like, Western military recruitment, it's down everywhere. Like, our country, like Britain, no one fucking joins up compared to what they did 10 years ago even. And I understand why. I know people that have seen all their mates die in a war over oil in Iraq, come home and get fuck all. The other thing I do think, though, to play devil's advocate, for however long now, like, through all the culture wars and all that boring nonsense, there has been this push online in these very online spaces of, you know, women are strong, women can do this, women can do that. So then when, which don't get me wrong, that's good. Like, obviously we're equal, we should be, that's how it should be. But I feel like a lot of these groups have just used that as a catchphrase. And then when Luhan has done her own thing, being a woman in the military, she has complete control over all the stuff she's doing there. She is actually making money out of it now with PsyOps. She sells patches and stuff like that. She's built a really big following. It's probably going to do her well in her career. Then suddenly it's like some of the feminist more online spaces might be like, no, not like that. It's like, well, how can you then tell a woman, no, you're not allowed to do this, you shouldn't be doing that? It's like, well, isn't that the point? She can do what she wants. Or is it just you have to do it how we want you to do it? Do you know what I mean? I think it opens up an interesting question there.
Yeah, like I see that point as well. I think from my perspective, it's not so much like, of course, like Luhan can do whatever she wants. Like this, we are like kind of symptoms. We are technically like quote unquote soldiers in this like neoliberal post-capitalist world. And this is like, if that's how you're going to survive through it, that's how you're going to survive. Like, that's not personally the route I would take. And I think it's important to question the systems of power that have kind of made us end up in this like place where suddenly, yeah, you do have to kind of sell yourself as an ego army influencer to be able to like survive in this economy. I think the problem that I have with it is, I guess by putting this kind of uwu cute, like Sanrio sheen on something which has very horrific like real world consequences, is attached to so much trauma, attached to so much like everything that you've just said, is that it kind of changes our conception of what it means to be a soldier by kind of sanitizing it and pacifying it. And a lot of people, you could say arguably, could enlist because I don't know, like, for instance, how the US military last year were recruiting people on Twitch through, I think it was mostly esports and like COD and like all that. And also like the entertainment industrial complex, like this isn't anything new really. Like if we pedal back, like literally like decades, like Top Gun, King Kong, like all of these big Hollywood franchises were funded by the US military to some extent. And all of this to whatever degree just works to normalize our conception of violence on this scale without taking into consideration the kind of individual like situations that puts people in.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. And I'm glad you said it about the kind of entertainment industry and the influence the American military has had on that. I've said that before and people are like, conspiracy theorists. It's like, well, no, here's some facts of them admitting to it. Here's where they did it. You know, here's literally their name in the credits. No, it's not real. It's like, yeah, no, it's very much been a thing. But that's the same in any country. Any country does that. You know what I mean? To be honest, our country, I think, do it a lot less just because, I don't know, for whatever reason, I don't think it works the same way. I think we're a little bit more cynical. But the Americans very much have that culture of, ooh, you know, that kind of vibe. Do you think then that Lujan and maybe even Gun Waifu, I know, so we didn't really go over that, but she's, I think she's former Israeli IDF, or at least she did her service. Now she does like military-themed kind of hot girl video, she has OnlyFans, that kind of thing. Is that kind of stuff, do you think that's actually going to lead to young men joining up? Do you think that's actually going to lead to more recruitment? I know it's too early to know, but I don't know. For me, I'm like, surely not. Like, because already we're seeing a lot of young guys on the internet calling it out, going like, no, she's a psyop, don't fall for it, brothers, you know, that kind of stuff.
This is the thing, like, even when you look at the comments on these videos, it's hard to know, like, because there's equally as many comments of people just being like, enlisting now, like, I'm so ready.
Yeah. I mean, that was my first reaction. I was like, all right, I love the military now. But, you know, I don't think many people actually mean that.
This is the thing. I mean, like, again, like, on the surface, we'll, like, watching a Lujan video make some, like, simpy, like, video game guy, like, enlist in the army, maybe, who knows, but I don't think that's like the questions that need answering. I guess I think it's more, again, like as I said earlier, it's like normalizing this idea of violence in this kind of sexy context, gamifying violence, and like rendering those involved like unaccountable, but that all kind of plays into skewering our perception of like reality like further and further, because yeah, I guess it's kind of like it just like further blurs the cultural signifiers that we see around us with like political allegiances and like the blending of like war propaganda and like consumerism and like so on and so on.
Yeah, I think that is actually the point as well. I agree. I saw a lot of people being like, well, it's not going to affect it. No one's this dumb. No one's whatever. But it's like, yeah, that is not the point. You know, the Overton window has been fully kicked out of the frame at this point, I think. When you wrote the article, I know, I think you said before to me that like Lujan was messaging you or something like that. What was their reaction to the article? Because I didn't think the article was critical necessarily. It was just like, here's what's happening. Here are the facts of what has already happened and why, whatever. Like, I didn't feel like you were attacking them. What was their reaction anyway?
I mean, to be honest, like, I think Lujan and I, like, we have like quite a decent rapport.
She seems intelligent. She seems like has a good sense of humor, which I think to be doing that shit, you have to.
Yeah. No, I think she was actually quite complimentary. I disagree with kind of like selling these imperialist undertones and kind of capitalizing on that, like kind of inherently from my own personal moral stance. Yeah, I can't deny that she's like meme literate as fuck and like knows how to post.
Yeah, she knows how to post. That is very true. What I found really interesting was looking at the way, for example, the YPJ in Rojava, northeastern Syria, the Kurdish female forces, the way they do their PR, the way they present themselves versus this is very different. I mean, the YPJ's way of showing their strength, who they are, what they're fighting for, could in a way be argued to be a lot more old school, something that old American conservatives would more agree with than this new stuff, which is, I don't know, it's interesting to see one is, you know, for female liberation and for fighting whatever, and the other one is kind of like for memes, but they're both in this space of like, you know, women in the, I don't know, the fighting space. And I guess my point is, I don't know if it's, if it's always necessarily good or bad to kind of to even see that. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. It's like, I think it's really good, men and women to be equal. And I think it's absolutely fine if females fight as well as men. I don't get why that would ever be an issue. I think it's insane that people would be like, women shouldn't be allowed to fight. But then it's like, is it good then just to see female representation, even if it is Luhan fucking around? Forgetting the kind of imperialistic, like, you know, angle. I mean, I don't know. Even to even see that, is that going to help people realize that actually, doesn't matter what gender you are, you can still fight?
I don't know. It's a hard one. I don't know. I almost don't feel like posting these videos is like a kind of, like an, I don't think the argument is about girlhood really and representation in the armed forces. If anything, like what screams out to me is like the individualism and the kind of self-profit and like those kind of intentions behind it. It doesn't, like, I think any kind of argument being like, oh, I'm a woman, I don't know, like it's so hard to say. But yeah, for me, like the thing that strikes me most about it is the kind of individualist, super like neoliberal kind of thing. And I don't think that is really, yeah, I don't think that
it's not relevant. Really about,
yeah, I don't think it's relevant. Yeah.
The reason I ask is because I mean, I think to some degree, we're actually, there's even some evidence of it. I think to some degree, the whole like hypersensitive woke internet culture is to some degree a psyop used to make the left look stupid. But what I'm already seeing now, I had a little dig into this. You're seeing that ideology be used against the kind of woke scolds that are against this, as in like, well, you're the one that wanted this. You wanted representation. What's your problem now? Which I found really interesting. I don't know. It's like the snake eats its tail. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I feel like that's a very kind of like liberal thing as well.
Yeah. Of course it's bullshit. Oh, Raytheon has a gay pride day. Okay, they make weapons that kill children in foreign countries. I don't give a fuck. But I've seen that whole, I don't know, it's like the zenith of that whole culture, this thing.
Yeah. I feel like on one hand, this is definitely also the right wing, like weaponizing and conflating liberal culture with like left wing ideals, like left wing kind of ethos as well. But yeah, no, I mean, I also like another thing that I've personally found interesting about all of this is more, I guess, like the kind of cutification of, I guess, not just like e-girl army warfare in this case, but I guess just what we're seeing more generally. And like, I don't know, like for me, like the real life cat boy on the front lines of Ukraine, like that's like one example that springs into my head. But also like the day that I'm who like leaked the no fly list with like a picture of a Pokemon. I think what we're seeing now is this kind of, again, is like similar to what I said earlier, but like, I guess it's like how internet culture bleeds further into the real, or the real, like bleeds further into like the URL. We are getting these weird kind of almost like algorithmic, like uncanny things that, yeah, like we wouldn't have seen previously. But like, I don't know, like I was online lol, I was just like scrolling Instagram like 2 weeks ago or something, and like this guy went viral on TikTok. I think he was like wearing a Third Reich medal, and like he was like claiming to be the literal reincarnation of Hitler in front of a wall of like squishmallows, like those squishy like big toys you get in toy shops.
Like body pillow type shit.
Yeah, like those really. Oh my God. Yeah, like, yeah, it's really fucked.
Average 4chan, average poll user, basically.
Yeah, literally. And like, okay, so he's like deleted his Twitter account, but it was like previously reported that he used to build like bunkers in Minecraft, and like all of it's just super fucked. But I think this kind of conflation and like weird garbling of cute aesthetics, ubu aesthetics, like anime, all of that stuff, which I guess like has roots in 4chan anyway, is kind of melding into this like this atmosphere and environment of like IRL violence, IRL military. like not particularly with him, but I guess just kind of we're seeing it come out into the real world. And I don't know what that means, but I think it's going to get a lot more complex and weird.
No, I think you're right. And I think it's going to get a lot weirder. On one hand, I think it's good in some ways to see all sorts of different people fight in wars. For example, the Ukraine guy with the catboy ears, he's not obviously clearly not your average like hyper masculine rough and tough guy. He's like, you know, a funny lad that has gone, yeah, I'm going to stick up and fucking fight for my country, which, you know, good for him. I think that's a really honorable thing to do. And, you know, there's Ukraine, there's many diverse different groups out there. But on the other hand, what it does is, I think, goes back to what you're saying. It removes the reality of the violence for a lot of people. People that will never actually go there can then kind of completely dehumanize the enemy. That's the shit that only really used to happen properly for the people fighting. And it was used as a tactic to make them ultra violent and have no mercy. When you're seeing people online with, you know, with no mercy, I don't know, it leaves a weird taste in the mouth. Like, for example, today I put a thing on Twitter where the Kremlin-backed mercenary group Wagner, they posted up photos of like a pile of their own dead fighters on Telegram saying like, oh, you know, we need help, basically. I mean, fuck them, fuck Wagner, like, who cares? But at the same time, I saw all the comments were like, lol, have a good sleep, you know, rest easy, fucking Mobix, fuck them. And I was a bit like, okay, I get it, but you would never go to war. You would never dare. You would never, you know what I mean? And not that everyone has to, but it's a little bit twisted when that level of willing adoration for violence and death is dealt out by people that say things like cockwomble and sweary bants, you know what I mean, on Twitter. It's just, maybe I'm gatekeeping. Maybe I'm like, no, this is my arena. Do you know what I mean? But it does feel a little bit fucking weird. And I agree with you. I think it's going to get a lot more complex. And I do think it's probably going to be very small, but it is probably going to lead to people eventually, I think it's going to lead to, there's going to be some rude awakenings eventually along this path if this thing has indoctrinated someone to actually go to war, and then they get there and they're like, oh fuck, I don't know. I hope it doesn't end up with someone dying, you know what I mean? But like without any cause.
That's the thing. And like, I mean, I don't know how relevant what I'm going to say is, but I think a lot of this does also like play into the idea that, yeah, like there has been, I mean, especially since the pandemic, like, I think putting like a whole society of people, multiple societies of people like locked under just like digital communication for the good part of 2 years is definitely going to change like the collective psyche. And I do feel like there has been this more general kind of consensus that like everything's a lock, like everything's like nothing matters. Like reality doesn't exist. Therefore we can LARP, we can like everything's a psyop, you know? And I think subconsciously or not, that definitely like fuels a lot of the kind of unrealities that we're kind of seeing kind of unfurl right now.
No, I agree. And I think whether it's good, bad or whatever, who knows? I don't know. But I just think people need to like be in touch with like the kind of more, I don't know, like the, I mean, the golden rule we have in Britain, chat shit, get banged. Like, you people need to realize that that is the golden rule and that is real life. You know what I mean? That kind of world. And yeah, I don't know. It's a weird, things are headed in a very weird space. If people want to read your article on all of this, where can they do that? Where can they find it?
So the article is on Dazed, dazed.com. And then, yeah, I guess, just Google it.
Google it, yeah. What's the title?
Oh, yeah. God, I can't remember. Wait, give me a moment. How e-girl influencers are trying to get Gen Z into the military.
Cool. Brilliant. Thank you very much. If people want to get in contact with you, where's the best way to do it?
So the best way, I'd say, is Instagram. And my handle is internetfriend3000.
I love that.
Say that in a serious voice.
Right, it just undid the whole conversation.
Yeah, literally.
All right, thank you very much. Really appreciate that.
Right, thank you.
That was journalist Gunseli Yelchinkaya talking to us about military ego, TikTok, Instagram madness. Definitely check her article out. I think it's really interesting. Some of you won't have liked this episode because it got into politics a little bit, but fuck it, who cares? You got to mix things up a little bit now and then. To support us, go to patreon.com/popularfront. For your money, you get a lot more extra every month. That's the way we keep moving forward. Patreon, we don't accept any investment from big corporations. Definitely no money from states or anything like that. So the way we keep moving forward is all grassroots. Patreon.com/popularfront. Or if you want, you can buy our merchandise at popularfront.shop. Thank you very much to the sponsors in this episode. They are Oracle Coffee Shop in Portland, Oregon, USA. They're an independent coffee business selling only fair trade products. See them at 3875 Southwest Bond Avenue, 97239. Also, Grind Core House, a pair of independent coffee shops in Philadelphia, USA. One in South, one in West. You can find them on social media at Grind Core House. And our final sponsor, Propagandopolis, an outlet selling and writing about historical propaganda, war propaganda from around the world. You can buy prints at propagandopolis.com. Use a promo code POPULARFRONT10 for 10% off. Follow us on social media. Check out our documentaries at youtube.com/popularfront, Instagram at popular.front, Twitter at popularfront_, and TikTok at popular.front. Music in this episode, the intro was by Home and the outro was by Sam Black. Listen to his music at samblackpf.com. Thank you very much to our high tier Patreons. They are Viola Forvel, Christian Bustamante, Mike Jones, Britt Richardson, Victor Villa, Daniel Verdin, Margosha, Rohan Irvine, Titus Perkins, Ryan Barbadillo, VS, Brian R, Evan Pank, Bradley Hope, Wizard Actual, Claire Hofbauer, Benjamin Tupper, Chungus Bongwater, Siddhartha O, Damien, Cameron Collins, Nicholas Blomberg, Matthew Diffley, Claire, Liana, Robert, Sean, Christianovich, NTHG, Arturo Rafael Macias, Ethan Zvik, Kefir is the Mind Killer, Gabriel K, Elise Middlefer, David McManus, Tom Petrie, James Leons, Bradley Davies, No Gods, No Dogs, No Hamsters, Brendan Crave, BRX, Ben Marshall, Dallas Dunn, LD50 Seattle The Band, K Glitter Vulcan, Adam H, Derivative Fool, Bottle of Water, Larson 8669, Ivan Julien, Bjorn Kirsten, Diamondstein, Michael O'Connor, Jack Doherty, Nicholas Butter, JD, Jav, James Cully, Tynan Daly, Ethan, Shanklin the Painter, Fitz Madrid, Ed Coulthard, D San, Mike Barone, Ben, Liam Williams, Chris Cusimano, DZA, Giorgio Arani, DR, Amy R, Rubicon, Frank Austin, Amelia Mee, Christina Rivetti, Freya Northman, Nebo, Noah, Andrew Hurley, Vida Provost, Brian McLaughlin, Tom Lockring, Young Wasabi, Tony Bin, JL, Stephen Davila, Dan Dunham, Chad Walker, Lawrence Abrahams, Peter McCormick from What Bitcoin Did, Christopher Martin, Ryan Sandercock, and Moritz Zumwalt. Thank you all so much. You're really keeping this moving forward. If you want to support us, patreon.com/popularfront or popularfront.co/support.